This is Hattie Burroughs, May 2nd, 1972. Present were Mrs. Burroughs, Mrs. Reed Morris, and Mrs. Lowell Smith.
Are you in New York? Now, I can't pronounce that name, but you can find it in that, in that part there where it tells about their, where the lady is, that town where they lived. I don't know how much she got for him or nothing, but she sold him to, or bound him out to a party by the name of Russell.
Now that is Dad Burroughs, who was whose mother bound him out to a family named Russell when he was a child of about five.
Yes. And when he stayed with them, they were supposed to give him some education and at least a pair of pants. I suppose he tells there what he's supposed to have. And then when he couldn't stand it no longer. So when he was 14, there was a big ship come in on the lake, so to another by New York, and he run away and got on that ship, and he scrubbed deck and everything else to keep him from telling where he was from, and he got into Duluth. There where the ship unloaded. And he stayed there and chopped wood and trees and everything else till he was 16. When he was 16, there was a wagon train from Macon out come west. And he came with them.
From Duluth, Minnesota.
From Duluth, Minnesota. And they come to Denver and then drifted on to Leadville. So then and they had the gold mines up there, six gold mines, and Dad Burroughs furnished the meat and flour. I think that's what his contract called for. The meat and the flour for 1/6 of the gold that they got from the gold mines and the placer mines. And
he was by this time about what age? Would you say 17 or 18?
This was about 1860. I don't know. He was born in 1835.
So oh, I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so one winter, he said he killed and hauled into camp 63 deer for the group up there. And then we can go back to Mother Burroughs. She was in Wisconsin, but I can't remember the town now, unless it tells there. And her father was a sawmill man, and he had this sawmill, and he had a big lot of lumber sawed up. So he thought he would take this load up to sawmill to bring west, and then he would take the lumber down to St. Louis or wherever the junction was there, and sell a lumber for enough money to come west of. But he couldn't find a buyer that had the money that he wanted for the lumber. So he finally found a fellow that had 200 head of cattle. He traded the lumber for the cattle, and they stayed that winter in St. Louis or Kansas City, someplace along there. And then the next spring, the wagon train was making up to come west, and they had two wagons or three, and a little mule and a horse, and then all this bunch of cattle, and it was four youngsters, Mother Burroughs and Mrs. Frazier, that would be Mrs. Rebecca Frazier, and the two boys, Russell and Thad, were the two Bruce boys, and all these is Bruce's now.
And Mother Bruce that you're referring to was Sarah Bruce.
Mother Bruce. And two of them would herd the cattle, or drive the cattle, and then two of them herded the cattle at night when they had to come in to bed them down, you know, with the wagon train. And they had the one wagon, so all the little calves that was corned at night, or maybe where they could, they grabbed them up and threw them in that wagon and hauled them because it wasn't big enough to be chased on the route. And Aunt Ray Jones used to say, she rode in the back of the wagon with the little calves. And they went, now I don't know, they didn't come down past here. They went up through Colorado Springs and up the Ute Trail, up the trail, Ute Trail, that's what it is. It goes up from Colorado Springs up to Leadville and off up that way. And so they have their, well, the road was going that way then. They have their cattle and their home, you might say, established there. And the girls, they got a sack of flour, and the girls made pies and they did things like that and sold to the tourist train that was coming by. Paid $20 a sack for the flour. And finally, when the railroad went through here, they changed the road so that they didn't come past their house anymore. And there they was stuck with that sack of flour. Well, then after, Mother Burris went to work at the boarding house up at Leadville, and Dad Bruce and the rest of them come down here and settle down here. What we know as the City Ranch, or where Johnny owns, you know. And then Dad Burrows met Pamela Burrows up there at Leadville, and she was working there, and so then they got married and went to Denver on their horseback on their honeymoon, and to get their gold dust into currency. They took $2,000 worth of gold dust with them and traded it or sold it or however they had to do for money that they could use. And that was in 1863. So now Mother Burris and Mother Bruce and them was living down here. And so of course here's where they came.
Then that was the story of how Grandpa Burroughs and Miss Sarah L. Bruce were married at Sterling Park County, Colorado Territory. I'm reading now from the document that was signed by the minister who married them on the 16th of October in 1863.
Oh, well, about the first thing that Dad Burris did was to get the ditch right through down here. Number one, that's the first on the river and the first on the Hardscrabble Creek. And then I have a picture in here where they lived during the time they were back and forth when they had a couple little kids. And then they come down here and taking up the homestead, what we call the lively place, was the lively place. It's the next place right down here. Grandma Burris then lived in what we call it, would call a dugout or a cellar or a bank house. And the old Indians used to come up there. Dad Burris wasn't home, which he wasn't. He was always going to Leadville with a bunch of prey. And they'd come and they'd circle around that hill and yell, "Mr. Burris, Mr. Burris, Mr. Burris." And she would take one of their big earthen crocks like that, full of meal and a pan of biscuits, set it out on the doorstep and shut the door right quick. And the Indians would come and get that milk and bread, and they just loved bread, you know, and eat it just pretty near like a bunch of pigs. But one day Mother Burris's sister, they was living in Florence. That was she was a Frasier. And they used to come out here with a covered wagon, and then they'd just stay overnight and sleep in the wagon. And the Indians come up there, and they begin taking the tin cups and knives and things. And so she, Miss Bruce, I suppose, don't put that in. This is Frasier. she got a knife and looked like she's gonna give it. So they put the dropped the cups and just laughed and had such a big time and said, "Heap big squaw, heap big squaw, heap big squaw."
This Mrs. Frazier, you say, was Grandma Burroughs' sister. And she married who? Which Frazier? Do you recall?
My name was Jesse. And in 1874, Dad Burroughs bought this, what we call McClure land. It's a piece across the creek here. And here is the proof of it. This is the United States land office. That was made to McClure, and he bought it from McClure for $500 and a team of mules.
How many acres?
160. Jesse Parker said, "You must say all the things."
This is a very interesting document. It's from the recorder of the General Land Office, and it's dated 15th of August in 1876. And it's signed by President Grant and is for the property you just described that Grandpa Burroughs bought from John McClure. I suppose this was an original homestead. Is that a part of this property that you now live on?
It's the piece across the creek here. We have 160 here and 160 there, and 80 up there. Oh, at that time, Florence had brick yards down there where they were kilns, what we call them, where they burned the bricks, made them, and burned them. And so, Dad Burroughs, I hired him, a bunch of those guys. They come out right down here. They build a kiln, burn the build, and made these bricks, burn them.
Built the house.
Built all these buildings. Mm-hmm. We'd had to haul them out from Florence. It took 100 years. Couldn't have got them anyhow.
About what year do you think these buildings were put up?
Well, this one was finished in 1888. And the barn the next year. And then this one, little house out here was, three or four years after, because they had a lot of brick stores. So they just decided, Charlie Esmeyer. Built that.
Where did they get the soil? This from right here on the hillside?
We've had a lot of, it's an outfit from Denver that runs and makes bricks up there. Has been down here and trying to locate it, but so far they haven't. or don't know what they're made about, how they're made. Now, Bill Esmar's dad used to make bricks. Did you ever see a brick kiln? Make a fire in the middle of it? Dry them.
So now we have Grandpa and Grandma Burroughs on this place with their new home built.
On the place right next down here.
But their new home was built and their family was coming along. And how was he making a living?
Well, they raised horses here, mostly fancy horses. And after Grandpa Bruce was killed, he took over all them cows. And then he wasn't a sawmill man, so he sold the sawmill. But his interests were still in the mines in Leadville.
He was not primarily a farmer then.
No. He raised horses here for a good many years. And then.
And it is another story, but this reference that you made to Grandpa Bruce being killed at the sawmill was the story that you'll tell us another time about the Espinosa killing. Isn't that correct?
Isn't that correct? About the Espinosa's killing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the railroad was going through here, and all these coal mines were starting to be operated. So they had to have poles or track or whatever.
Ties,
that's what I want to say. And I don't think he was making any lumber for houses at that time. It was mostly ties. And because he just was short of anyone to haul, there was no people here to haul logs. And Aunt Jerome told me that while they still had all them cows, that one winter they made 100 pounds of butter or more and put it in a barrel and put it back under the... See, that was a water wheel fate that was run with...
At the sawmill, you mean?
Uh-huh. Had a ditch coming out of the hard scrabble up here, and it made what they call an overshot, and that turned the wheel, and that turned the saw. I've been up there when the ditch was still there.
Can you locate this area? How near the junction of the two hard scrabbles was the sawmill?
Well, the one comes down this way from up towards Billington's.
South.
And the other one, I could show you where, but I don't know whether I could
Is that the area that I've heard called Bruner Hill?
Yeah.
And it's a trailer house just right down over the edge of the road there, sitting there now. And I can just go right on over to the creek, and that'd be just about where it's at.
But they took the water out of the, comes from down here, if you're right,
North Hard Scrabble.
And then they run it here so that they could make it turn the water, and it spilled over into the two hard scrabbles there. But he was standing just up on the flat there, somewhere near where that trailer house used to be several years on, was still up there.
There's still one.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's about where he was when they killed him. Been up there just letting his horse feed eat, is all I know. There wasn't no Indians or anything around that I ever heard of. Now, Dad Burris was well acquainted with Kit Carson.
Well, now, going back before you leave this, were the other fellow, was there anyone else working there at the sawmill?
There was nobody there that day at all, but only him. See, he had two sons, and he didn't come home. The boys rushed up there to see what was the matter and found him. I don't know whether they was hauling logs or what. I just don't know.
What gave them to feel that it was the Espinosas that had killed him?
Well, you see, they killed all these other people around here. They killed the second man that was killed was this man over here, Dead Man Canyon.
Oh.
And then from there they went to Europe around Belleville, and they killed 25 or 30. It gives quite a piece there if you wanted to read it. Just to quite a, and then there you go.
Then there actually was no witness to this killing. It was simply assumed that the Espinosas killed Grandpa Bruce.
There was nobody else there than that. But,
I believe you told me that the Bruces, that Grandpa Bruce was a member of the first white family that lived on the hardscrabble, is that correct?
Yeah, he and his family moved down here. And they were the first white family that was ever on in this part of the country. And then I guess he was the first white person that was ever killed around here that they know of. And,
was the hardscrabble trading post completely gone by the time the Bruces and the Burrows? Was the hardscrabble trading post completely gone by the time the Bruces and the Burrows came? And the settlement?
Trading with the people that was building the railroad. That's what brought him down here, was the railroad and the demand for ties and lumber and things up. And they was having to sew them out by hand until someone came in with a mill. That's how he come down here. Living in Taos, New Mexico, came this way, crossed, instead of down around the river, came this way. And these Mexicans that finally came up here and were catching all these beavers, he was taking them back to I mean, Kit Carson was buying them or taking them back to the house to sell.
The Mexicans?
If you'll hand me that paper that had the...
Well, Miss Burroughs, how did the... do you know anything about how the hardscrabble community, that early little settlement, how it came about?
Well, due to what I've read and what I've heard and everything, it was what was left of the Pueblo settlement that was burned down on Christmas Day and killed by the Indians, that was. And they came up and settled on the hardscrabble, what is now known, or what we've always known as the City Ranch. And I don't know why they left. I don't know why they left, but they left a lot of buildings and things because